All right, welcome back. Who's talking? It's Hobbo Frank, Michael Tusky. Merrill Robertson is still in studio with us. He's taken a pause while we talk to UVA basketball coach, the women's coach, Joanne Boyle, and Frank's going to do the introduction.
Delighted to. Joanne has quite a resume. Played at Duke and graduated in 1984. Best known for steals. 75 steals in one season. Sounds like somebody that could move their feet. And I'm going to give you high marks for that. I love basketball players that go after the ball. All right. Played some pro ball over in Europe. So obviously you were, I guess, growing up, right? Duke assistant coach from 1993 to 2002. Probably didn't lose too many games doing that. Then you matriculated to Richmond, where I was able to follow you some. In 3 years there, you were 67-29 for a sparkling 69% winning percentage. Then you moved all the way to the left coast, apparently got lost, spent 6 years out there at Cal Berkeley, and again, 137 wins and 64 losses for another amazing percentage of 68%. Took your team out there to four NCAAs, and you were WNIT champions in 2010 with the Golden Bears, and somehow Craig Littlepage persuaded you to come back to the East Coast and to coach the UVA Cavaliers starting on April 9th. So we're delighted to have you on the show, and Hobbo has 20 questions he wants to throw at you.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. thanks for taking a couple of minutes. I know your team just finished practicing a little bit ago. The one thing I look at the stats, the Cavaliers have shot 161 free throws and the opponents only 124. You know, all us Virginia people, we always complain about Duke going to the free throw line all the time, but apparently you learned how to get to the charity stripe down there during your tenure at Duke. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the line, you know, trying to get easy buckets. I mean, trying not to make the game so difficult, you know. But the kids are doing a good job. You know, we're learning and growing every day.
And how you know, you're seven games into the season. What's your assessment of the team's progress to date?
You know, we started off strong, had a lot of really good wins, and went out to Hawaii and bit it a little bit out there. I think we really struggled rebounding in particular. We faced two really good teams in Texas and Cal, actually my former team, and just really took it on the chin on the boards. And that just hurt us, you know. It really hurt momentum. It hurt us in so many ways. And we're a better team than that. So we got back in the gym today and had a really good practice and, you know, focused on Indiana tomorrow. And then obviously we come down that way to Richmond on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting your former teams out of the way early, playing Cal and Richmond right away.
But and my former assistant coach is at High Point. We played them as well, so
wow.
I've hit everybody.
All those relationships. Well, I know when even though you're friends, when you're competitive or when you're playing them, you want to beat them. But at any rate, tell us a little bit about Indiana. What can the fans expect tomorrow night against the Hoosiers?
They're a big team. They have they're probably the biggest team that we face. They got a line of 6'4" and 6'2" back there, and they got some bigger guards, 6'1", 5'11", 5'9". So they're pretty big across the board. They got a really good shooter. They got a couple of guards that can really penetrate. They've got a guard that takes about 20 shots a game, so she's getting her numbers. They board well. They're second in the Big Ten in rebounding, and they go at the free throw line about 20 times a game. So, again, it's kind of the theme for us is we're going to have to keep them off the boards and keep them off the free throw line and make them execute in quarter court and earn their points.
I'll let Frank get here in a minute, but tell us a little bit maybe about the Joanne Boyle philosophy of basketball. I know you have that Duke pedigree. But and Duke, in my recollection, you know, the one thing about Duke is they always tried to deny that pass to the wing. You know, the overplay, make it difficult for a team to run their offense, force you away from the basket. Now, have you picked up on that philosophy?
Well, I've used it a lot where I've been able to. I mean, that, you know, just learning from Gail and obviously being there with Coach K and just, you know, watching their styles and their systems. But you also have to put your team in position to be successful. And at times I've had athletes, like at Cal, I had the athleticism to be able to do that. But at Richmond and Virginia, as we stand right now, that's just not, you know, that's not the personnel that I have. So I think the best thing that I can do as a coach is kind of really assess my team as I go in and put them in position to be successful. So we've become a really aggressive zone team this year with this group, and we've changed it up. We played a couple of different zones. We'll play a little bit of man-to-man, but we're primarily a three-quarter court pressing and matchup zone team, and we just don't have the foot speed to play the kind of defense we did at Duke.
Coach, are you trying to develop sort of a platoon system of, you know, 9 or 10 players, or are you more comfortable with, you know, our 7-8-woman rotation?
Well, you know, there's a couple ways people look at it. I think when you're about 8 deep, chemistry is always good because everybody knows they're going to play. But you also wear your teams out come February. It gets a little they're just burnt out and they're kind of run down. So it's nice to have a rotation of 9 or 10 in there as long as you can keep the chemistry, you know, and the and that camaraderie going. Just, you know, people get a little anxious with their minutes and stuff. So I like to play up-tempo. I like to press. I like to be out, and I like to run, and I like to play fast when we can. So it enables me to run 9 or 10 people in there. You know, if we were a team that really just was a quarter-court execution team, it might be a little tougher. But I do like to run 9 and 10 when we can.
You know, another thought, you've already gotten what some people might describe as a signature win this year over Tennessee, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. Anybody that can beat Pat Summitt right out of the gate, that's pretty darn good. With recruiting and so forth, and as you're getting reacclimated to the Mid-Atlantic, how do you feel you're transitioning in that area?
It's been good. You know, when we came in April, obviously the 2012 class was pretty much signed. So, you know, the young women that were left, we really got after hard, and I thought we signed a decent class for, you know, for it being so late. I think it's ranked 15th in the country, so it wasn't bad. We're still maybe trying to add a piece or two in the spring. But, you know, our focus really was to come in and just get as many of the young area players on campus, you know, whether it be from Philly or North Carolina or the D.C., DMV, as everybody calls it, area. And so we got our fair share of, you know, kind of those younger classes, the 13, 14s, and 15s on class, and we've been spending a lot of time with them, and I think it's going really well. I mean, I think recruiting is all about developing relationships, and you got to spend time with people and have them on campus and go see them play, and I think we've done a really good job, in particular in our area in the home state.
Just want to get back to the zone situation, Coach. I know Coach Mooney at Richmond plays a matchup zone. Explain for our lay listeners the difference between a regular zone and a matchup zone.
Matchup is really about matching with the person, whether, you know, cutters are going through or you're in an area, or, you know, you can change matchup zones just to work with what you have. And a lot of times people think a zone is like a 2-3 and you kind of stand in an area and you just guard somebody that comes in your area. And a matchup is much different. It's about taking angles away, and it's about double teaming at certain places. We do a lot of trapping in the corners. We do a lot of trapping off of ball screens in it. So it's very aggressive. It's very man-oriented. It's just that you're not responsible for a particular single person on a team. And it's worked for us. And like I said, we've changed a little bit. We've added 2 or 3 different wrinkles to it, and it's worked well for us. You know, the whole idea is try and confuse people and make people have to make difficult outside shots and not let them penetrate the zone and keep the paint clean and free. And, you know, somebody's going to have to shoot a lot of threes on you in order to win, and it's been successful for us pretty much along the way.
Just one, I guess the one thing is sometimes you mentioned rebounding earlier. Sometimes coaches say it's harder to find that person to box out, and you're playing in a zone situation.
Yeah, and you know, it shouldn't be with the zone we're playing. It kind of creates a wall, but a lot of times you end up having long threes because people tend to take more threes against the zone, and then you end up having long rebounds, and that creates second chance, you know, opportunities for opponents. So that is that's probably one of the things that, you know, isn't great about it, but it really does when you're small and you're not as athletic and you don't have the foot speed, it makes up for a lot that, you know, that we don't have. And, you know, we just have to do a better job of boxing out. And, you know, part of our problem isn't only on the defensive end, but it's really crashing on the offensive end. So again, just a mentality that we have to get used to and just constantly working with the kids on.
We're speaking with head women's basketball coach Joanne Boyle from the University of Virginia. Joanne, what's going on with Ariana Moore and Chelsea Shine? Are they providing you the type of points and leadership that you were hoping for this year?
Yeah, there are two seniors have really stepped up in our Tennessee game. They when we went into overtime, those two carried us through overtime. But both of them, they're our leading score. I think they're our leading scorers and rebounders right now, both Ari and Chelsea. So they've added a lot. They're a mature group. They've been great leaders for us on the floor. They understand it's their senior year, and this is it, you know, and it's going to go by so fast. And they want to be part of this journey, and they you know, always talk about laying the foundation for what's to come for Virginia women's basketball, and they've really owned that piece of, you know, being two of the people that really start this new journey off for all of us. So they've really contributed in their own ways, but points, scoring, and rebounding is three of the categories that they lead us in.
Coach, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us tonight. We wish you the very best of luck for the whole season, but particularly tomorrow night against Indiana. We're delighted you're at the University of Virginia. We hope it's a long tenure. You know, your predecessor was there for a long time. So
yeah. I don't think I'm going to make 34 years, but, you know, I'll do my best to stay as long as I can.
Well, thank you. We'll catch up with you as the season progresses.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, Coach Joanne Boyle of the Virginia Women's Program. We got Merrill Robertson back in studio here, so we'll use a basketball term. We'll pivot back to football here.
There you go. All right, so Merrill, let's get back to the bowl game prep. You were talking about the first week or so. You've got exams, and you've got some light running, some weightlifting. What else is going on as you transition through exams? Then what happens?
You kind of really get into the putting in more plays. The coaches start getting guys ready for next year too.
Yeah.
So it's a period where you're looking to win the bowl game, no question about it. But at the same time, it gives you more preparation for the younger kids to get more run, and while the older guys, the guys that have been playing all season, kind of get their bodies back.
Right.
See, the bowl is a time where you get your body back, and you go out. That's your last game to go play as a senior. So you get your body back and you put your best performance on that field that day for that last game. You enjoy it because that's it.
Yes.
You know, that's the last time. I kind of remember I was kind of in a daze. I really didn't play well in that bowl game where we beat West Virginia. I didn't play well because I realized it hit me when we were walking out. This is my last game. This is my last time I put on a Virginia uniform.
That was hard.
Yeah, it was very hard because the most fun you'll have is high school. And then college. College is next. The pros is no fun. Trust me.
Well, the interesting thing.
It's a job.
From a football perspective, you're right. You know it's your last game. I always talk about the NCAA basketball tournament where, you know, it may be your last game, but it may not be. And, you know, and you're going full speed, and all of a sudden the season comes to end on the basketball side. So at least you mentally you can sort of prepare yourself for this is the end of the road.
Absolutely. It is. It truly is.
In addition to accolades, it should be noted, and we should have jumped all over this the beginning of the show, Matt Conrath, excellent defensive tackle who had been moved over from defensive end. Chase Minifield, an excellent defensive back. And offensive guard Austin Pastor were all named first team All-ACC. Big pat on the back to those guys.
Absolutely.
Because I think they had great seasons. Ode Obuchi and Steve Greer were named to the second team. Obuchi playing left tackle. I thought he did very well in these last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Steve Greer, I think, has overachieved, much like John Copper.
That's right.
Not the fastest guy in the world, but he, you know, obviously a great student of the game, good mm-hmm. weightlifting, good training, good anticipation.
And is Steve Greer a senior or underclassman?
I think Greer has one more year.
Okay, good.
Perry Jones is only a sophomore. He feels like he's been there for 5 years.
He's a junior.
I think he's a sophomore.
Regardless, he's coming back.
Rodney McLeod is graduating, and he was honorable mention. And Anthony Mahota, the center, is graduating. And I thought Mahota had an excellent year, and he was named, I think, offensive lineman of the week twice by the ACC this year, which is pretty amazing because he never had won an award prior to that. So all
you're doing
those
very well with those names.
How about that? On this team has to do their homework.
I stick with Smith and Jones myself.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you even had trouble with Clark. Carl Clark is still walking around wondering how he got called all those dirty names.
Well, you know.
All right. We have got about another minute or so. Then we're going to go to our next break.
Bring Michael Tusky in here and maybe talk a little hoop before we get out of here.
You know, what we ought to do real quick? Why don't we go ahead and do the play of the game, Hobo?
Play of the game.
Yeah, well, there was one play of the game. I didn't say it was a great play of the game.
Play of the game was Cavman roasting that turkey.
Yeah, oh, and that was,
you know, it was
great.
All downhill after that.
All right, I tell you what, we're gonna go with that. The LeClaire Ryan play of the game was the pregame moment where Cavman electronically was able to subdue the gobbler.
So, I mentioned to somebody in the media area, I said, I hope that's not the high point of the afternoon, but unfortunately it was.
It was
pretty much.
Now, there was a big play in the game last night where Ahsan Sen got a little second-chance opportunity for Brogdon, and he nailed a three late that really kind of sealed the deal last night. So there was a basketball play, too.
I thought, honestly, watching the game last night, and I think we need to give credit where credit is due. Ralph Sampson was recognized last night at halftime of the UVA-Michigan game. Recently he was inducted into the Collegiate Hall of Fame, first Wahoo ever to be done so from the UVA basketball program.
I'm not in the Collegiate Hall of Fame?
Bad news there, Hobo.
Oh.
I don't think you have one of those medals hanging around your neck. But I thought Ralph was very humble, and I think he was somewhat in awe. You know, Terry Gates was at the baseline with him. Jimmy Miller was with him down the floor. Dr. Bobby Stokes was down there. Mark Newland. All these guys have been guests on their show. I think that's a trend.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bobby Stokes, of course, recruited by Hobo.
Yes. Hobo's greatest recruiting moment.
That's right.
He said, Coach Holland, there's this little 5'10" guy, and he scores 30 points a game. Maybe we should make him an offer. That, talk about a blind squirrel finding a nut.
That's it.
All right, we're going to head to break here. When we come back, Michael Tusky will do the Olympic sports, and then we're going to bring Merrill Robinson back for some final thoughts and just get his take on this this season as a wrap-up. So hang with us. A few more minutes. We'll be right back.